السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ، نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسول کریم، اما بعد، وی کنٹینیو ود دی فضل آف اللہ تبارک و تعالی ود دی ڈسکشن دیٹ وی آر انڈرٹیکنگ آف سم ورسز آف دس گلوریس سورہ آف دا قرآن شریف وچ از mentioned as being the heart of the Quran Sharif. And the central theme in the surah is the Akhirat. We have been sent to this world to prepare for the hereafter. Although we have been sent to this world, but ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah. It is a field for the hereafter. We have to plant here and then reap in the hereafter. Whatever benefits we enjoy in this world is limited. Whatever suffering we go through in this world is limited. In the Akhirat we will have unlimited enjoyment or unlimited suffering. So the preparation for the hereafter is in this world. And I have mentioned many times that it is our misunderstanding that dunya, when we say is cursed, then we refer to gold, silver, clothing, shelter, transport. All these things we consider as dunya. And then we say that Quran Sharif has cursed dunya, Hadith Sharif has cursed dunya. But dunya is not wealth, dunya is not the name of all these things. Dunya is when these things divert our attention from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. We forget the giver of these ni'mats, then it becomes dunya. A person has got a very comfortable bed, that is not dunya. But if that bed makes him forget the performance of Fajr Salat, where so comfortable that now he remains asleep until the sun rises. But as you have heard many times, that all of us talk about the rise of Islam. But Fajr time must take a walk around Muslim homes, and we will notice that people haven't risen until the sun has risen. So we talk about the rise of Islam, but we can't rise before the sun has risen and perform our Fajr Salat. How do we expect changes to then come? Nevertheless, this world we have been sent to for the preparation of the hereafter. Everything that we do here is recorded, and we will be shown whatever we have done in the hereafter. The full punishment or the full reward can only be given in the hereafter. The best of people in this world will have to share in the calamities, in the disasters, in the difficulties that people face in this world due to their sins. When it comes to a national disaster, if there is drought, for example, in the land because of the abundance of sins, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala causes drought. One of the causes, of the many other causes, is, for example, the non-payment of zakat. Or if there are such kinds of diseases and sicknesses which our forefathers also didn't hear of, like AIDS and other things. Now when there is a suffering that is going on, epidemic proportion, then the good and the bad will all suffer in this world. In the Akhirat they will be separated. The difference will be this, that in this world those who are good, those who are pious, if there is a suffering that has come because of the floods, because of the drought, because of other disasters, then Allah Ta'ala will still give them a kind of sukoon in their hearts. For the believers, there will be that sukoon. And there is no way that we can describe this sukoon. But Allah Ta'ala will give it in the heart. The person will believe that it is from my Allah. If there are some means that he can adopt to get rid of that problem, then he will make use of those means. But when it is beyond his means, then he will accept it, that it is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala is my beloved. So whatever he sends, I must be happy with it. Now when the person has got this kind of attitude, then he will find sukoon in his heart, that it is from my Allah. So it is a world of means. We have to make use of the means, but many, many times the means will fail. Nowhere in the Quran Sharif has Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentioned that if you adopt any particular mean, then you will get the result. Has it been mentioned anywhere that you are promised that if you adopt one of the worldly means, then you will definitely see the fruits of that means? There's no promise that you will definitely see it. For example, a person wants a child. Now he marries. Now marriage is a means. But 10 years go by, 20 years go by, and there's no child. So he adopted the mean, but it's not necessary that he will have, or his wife will give birth to a child. If Allah Ta'ala wills, his wife will give birth. Sometimes it could be one, sometimes two, sometimes plenty, and sometimes nothing. Sometimes a boy, sometimes a girl, sometimes both. Allah Ta'ala knows best. So that is in the control of Allah Ta'ala. The same with food, with drink, and with everything else. But the adoption of the means, for another example, we take the car and we want to travel to Johannesburg. Now that's a means. We have adopted and we should adopt those means. Now whilst the person is traveling, meets up with an accident, the car is smashed and the person is dead and gone. So the means were adopted, but it's not necessary that the person will reach his destination. The only promise is on taqwa, that when the person adopts taqwa, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's promise is there to be fulfilled. But that is a different subject. What we are talking about is that in this verse of the Quran Sharif which we are discussing, it is related to the day of judgment, Qiyamah, that the people will still be disputing and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will send a mighty blast and everybody will be seized, and then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will set up the scale, testing will be done, and then it will be Jannat or Jahannam. But here in this ayat Allah Ta'ala says that they will not have a chance, because they were disputing when will the day of judgment come, when will Qiyamah take place. If you are truthful, you keep telling us about Qiyamah, when will it come? So Allah Ta'ala says, well, now it has come, you won't even get a chance to go back to your people or to dispose of your estate by will, or to decide by will what you are going to dispose to whom. Nothing, no chance. So what is the lesson for us? And this is what I'm emphasizing over the past 2 or 3 days, that the wazifas that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam showed, there was great wisdom. Like he told, must read Surah Yasin in the mornings. So if a person has to read Surah Yasin Sharif with understanding in the morning and then go to his business house, then there is no question of this Muslim committing fraud, or this Muslim hiding the defects in the article that he is selling, or this Muslim cheating any client, or this Muslim using vulgar language, or this Muslim injuring or harming anyone without any justification. Why? Because he has recited Surah Yasin Sharif and he understands fully well that he is accountable for all his actions, and on the day of judgment Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will make this decision. So now he is conscious of this fact. It was not just read Surah Yasin Sharif and go away. There was a meaning behind it. There was great depth why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam emphasized upon the recitation of Surah Yasin Sharif in the mornings. Because all of us generally go to work, or travel out, or go for picnic, or go for other purposes during the day. So for that day, this person will now be conscious. Akhirat ki fikr karni hai zarur, jaisi karni waisi bharni hai zarur. Ek din mayyat qabr mein utarni hai zarur. So akhirat ki fikr karni hai zarur. And that is the department of life in which we are most negligent. We just take it very, very casually. If we get the shock of ibadat, we will make it. And if we get the shock of pleasing shaitan, then we'll please him. But we don't have that conscious realization that there is an akhirat. there is a hereafter. In the lives of the Sahaba-e-Kiram, that was very conspicuous, that concern that there is a hereafter.
Maal o aulaad qabr mein teri jaane ko nahi, maal o aulaad qabr mein teri jaane ko nahi, tujhko dozakh ki musibat se chudane ko nahi. Maal o aulaad qabr mein teri jaane ko nahi, tujhko dozakh ki musibat se chudane ko nahi. Juz amal qabr mein koi bhi tera yaar nahi, juz amal qabr mein koi bhi tera yaar nahi, kya qiyamat hai ki isse tu khabardar nahi.
Isse maal o aulaad qabr mein teri jaane ko nahi. No matter how beloved that child was to that mother, but we haven't seen anyone say that this child was very, very dear and beloved, and she only gave birth after 20 years, and the child is only a few months old and the mother is gone, so let us bury the child with the mother, send the child with the mother so that the mother can enjoy the company of that child. Or the wealth of the person, that this was his favorite car, these were his favorite clothes, this was his favorite food. All his favorites, send it along with him. Nothing. Maal o aulaad qabr mein teri jaane ko nahi. Tujhko dozakh ki musibat se chudane ko nahi. It will not be able to give you release or salvation from the fire of Jahannam. Of course, if he made use of that wealth in accordance with Sharia, in accordance with the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then that same wealth will become a means of his salvation and a means of his enjoying in the hereafter. So again, it's the same thing. Either you make it beneficial for you, or we use it in such a way that it becomes harmful for us. So he said, Juz amal qabr mein koi bhi tera yaar nahi. In qabr, your only companion is going to be your actions. And that is what we are talking about, that the actions will be here in this world, and in the qabr after that there will be enjoyment. In the hereafter there is going to be enjoyment. And if the actions are not pleasing to Allah Ta'ala, then there will be punishment. So this is that break that I always talk about, that if we remember that there is going to be death. Just for the benefit of those who may not have heard the example, at the Johannesburg airport, some friends said before our departure from there, they give some nasihat. So I told them the nasihat is here in bold. Every airport has got nasihat in bold. Arrival board and a departure board. There's no airport without arrival and departure boards. What more nasihat does a person want? That arrival has taken place, we have come to this world, and there's going to be a departure. As far as arrival is concerned, I don't think anyone has any problem with understanding that he has arrived in this world. And if he doesn't, if he has some kind of a doubt, then he must see a psychiatrist immediately, if he believes that he hasn't arrived in this world. So as far as departure is concerned, there are times of departure. The flight times are there. But it is not necessary that the flights will take off on time. As in India, there was one slow train and it was reputed to be always late. The passenger train. We have some very, very fast trains there, and some every station stop, then they are delayed all the time because they make way for the fast ones. But one passenger, when he went there to the station, then he was surprised that the train arrived exactly on time. If the departure time was 2 o'clock, then it arrived exactly on time. So he commented that today we are very lucky that the train arrived exactly on time. So he went to congratulate the station master. The station master said that this train is exactly 24 hours late. The other one will follow with another later. But this one, you are lucky that it arrived exactly 24 hours late, but you got it on time. So there can be delays, and there are always delays. But when it comes to the departure of this person from this world, إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ The journey of death, there's no delay. As soon as the time is up, the person has to leave. Nothing can prevent his soul departing. All the wealth of the world did not prevent the kings of the world departing from this world. Nothing. They could not buy off anyone. The angels couldn't be bribed. That we will give you a little bit of bribe. Just delay our departure. So this yaqeen must sit in our hearts. It is not a speech. It is not just words. It is a condition that we have to make of our hearts. That the moment we are tempted to commit some sin, then we believe and truly believe that there is a day of judgment. Then the person is not going to indulge in that sin. Khawf of the akhirat. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept signs for us. Yes, I was explaining to you about this airport thing. So I said one is the departure, arrival and departure. Now they at the airport, I said now we also have a new board there. And it is prayer room upstairs. You go there to the international airport, it shows prayer room upstairs. In other words, upstairs is the world. That means when you're in this world, so prayer here, we will take the meaning that obey Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Complete obedience, complete submission in every department of our life to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is what we term as prayer. Fast, make your salat, make your hajj, fulfill the rites of all, everything. That is about. That is what you must do in this world. And then there's a fourth ward there, parking downstairs. That when you finished after that, then there's parking downstairs. That means after that you have to go to your grave. So everyone who goes past the Johannesburg International Airport must look at these four signs there. And they are giving a speech. Then again we have a first class waiting room there, we have business class lounge there, and we have the ordinary waiting room. So that is the condition of this world. That some people, Allah Ta'ala gives them little extra wealth, so they will be in the first class. Some will be in the business class. And some poor people will be living in huts and shacks. But there is a departure time for everyone. All of them will depart. And even if it is that person in the first class lounge, he will be called stupid and foolish if he suddenly believes that he is going to be sitting on those beautiful couches there and enjoying all the luxuries there for all times. Now if he doesn't keep his eye on the clock and his eye is only on the food there and all the facilities there, so he will miss his plane. So he too has got his eye on the clock, when will the plane take off? The person in the business class has got his eye on the clock. And the person in the ordinary waiting round, he's also got his eye on the clock. That is how we should live in this world. Whether we have got more or less, whether we're living in a palace or living in a hut, but our eye must be on the clock, that when is going to be the departure time. And so many other lessons we take from there. So this journey of the akhirat is what we are being prepared for. That you plant here and you reap there. And I conclude once again, and whatever will come to mind, I will say it. I conclude once again on that same example. I find it to be a very good example for myself. That in this world we will use the same eyes to get the connection with Allah Ta'ala. The same ears, the same hands, the same feet, the same bodies, the same homes, the same businesses, the same children, the same wealth. It's not that you leave this world, go somewhere else and then make the preparation. We'll live in this world and make use of all these things. But we will make use of it as Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have ordered. And when we will do that, then Allah Ta'ala will give us internal sukoon. He'll give us nur in our hearts. Our hearts will become overfilled with love for Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we will enjoy a kind of sukoon which the kings also do not know of. But when we will get this connection with Allah Ta'ala, then, as the poet says, then the person kisses his own hands. First to discipline it, he goes his heart on his hand, that I must not sign anything fraudulently, I must not pull the trigger on somebody, I must not swear anybody, I must not take false oath and qasam. So his tongue, his hands, his feet, everything, to discipline it, his heart on it. But once it is disciplined and it has given him this connection with Allah Ta'ala and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, now he kisses his own hands and, oh my hands, you became the means of my catching that garment of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. You became the means of my connection with my beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He kisses his feet, that you became the means of my connection because you walked towards the masjid. You walked to assist the poor, the needy. You walked towards halal livelihood. You didn't walk towards the cinemas and theaters and discos, and that gave me this connection with Allah Ta'ala. So now he kisses his own feet. He wants to kiss his own eyes, that you lowered yourself. That means your gazes were lowered when the haram came before you. And that is what gave me this halawat and sweetness of iman. So to discipline it, he was hard. Now when it became disciplined, now he is congratulating them that you became the means. So it's the same world, the same food, the same drink, everything. All that we are required to do is this same Quran Sharif. Find out what does Allah Ta'ala want of us. How should we live in this world? And wallah, we can take a billion qasams that the day we lead our lives according to this Quran and Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Wallah, we only take qasams to emphasize that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will definitely, most certainly, He will give us in our hearts that those pearls and those fresh gems which Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Alayhi spoke about. He said that, oh you Mughal kings, when you will die and leave this world, then you will leave behind everything and you will go to your graves. But when Waliullah will go to his grave, then he will take such gems with him which are priceless. And those are the gems of the muhabbat of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah Ta'ala bless me, bless you, and the entire ummah with it. May Allah remove the difficulties, the hardships and the problems of the ummah. May Allah Ta'ala cause the winds of hidayah to blow throughout the continents and cause us to be drenched in the rains of rahmat which are falling in this Mubarak month. And give us the himmat and courage to stay away from sins. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.